Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
You know what that says about us? It says we're probably an aging congregation. Everyone has problems, particularly in the fast pace. It's not just age-related. It's pace-related. Amen. It's the busyness of life that causes people to forget precious things. How can a mother forget her suckling child? The Old Testament says, yea, she may. It's possible that can happen. But I will never forsake you, or forsake her suckling child. But I will never forsake you, O house of Israel. He said, literally, I've inscribed you on the palms of my hands. One of the most wonderful exhibits of love in the Old Testament flowing from God. I will inscribe you upon the palms of my hands that I forget you not. Amen. Isn't that incredible that God is that mindful of you? Amen. Sometimes it seems like He's in His heaven, aloof and apart from what you're facing or going through. How very, very wrong that is. Jesus said He's so mindful of you, amen, that the very hair of your head is numbered, and God knoweth the count of them all together. Isn't that incredible? No one is that intimate with you. I guarantee your main squeeze has never sat down with tweezers and a magnifying glass trying to count, I love you so much. Oh, baby doll, I just want to know. Oh, sweet patootie. I want to, or whatever. Amen. Patootie. Amen. Can we say patootie in church? I don't know. Amen. It's a patty word. We better watch it. Can you say amen? The bird says it, and he's sanctified. Maybe not. Amen. I just want to see. I want to know everything about you. I want to know how many hairs are in your beautiful locks. I just want to count them one by one until I figure it out. I won't rest until I know you that personally. Baloney. There's only one person in the universe that knows you that intimately. And it's the one that many times we forget cares that much about us when we're going through trouble. And we're going through crisis. We wonder, is God concerned? And then Jesus said, not only does He know the count of the hairs on your head, a sparrow is the least of the birds that fly in the air. One of them is sold for a farthing. It's kind of like put it down to a penny or a halfpence in our economy. Amen. But He said, not one of them, one of the least of God's creation, not one of them falls to the ground without your Father. He's that caring, even about nature. And you are worth more. You're the highest creation, the crown of His creation. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You are worth more than many sparrows. Glory to God. So take you no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, or wherewith you shall be clothed. Amen. For your Father knows. See, your Father knows. You will never, ever make a need known to Him that He has forgotten or He's unaware of when you pray about your need. Your Father knows what you have need of. Then why should we pray to express faith in that Father who said He knows and He wants to meet it? And to get our priorities straight and put the kingdom of God first and His righteousness. He said, if you do that, I'll father you. And all these things that you need shall be added unto you. David said, I'm young and I'm now old. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed out begging for bread. We're going to talk about forgetfulness and remembrance because this is a time for remembrance. Twice Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Because He knew that we would have a tendency to forget to remember. Amen? And anybody who loses the first love has forgot the great love wherewith God has loved us. And they forgot it because they didn't remember Jesus and stay focused on Jesus hanging on the cross. Amen. The cross is the centerpiece of the gospel. If you move it just a little bit, we don't have the gospel as it was preached in the scripture. Can you say amen? If you major on faith instead of majoring on Him who hung upon the cross, it's something less than the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you major on healing instead of Him who hung on the cross, it's something less than what was preached to us, to the early church. Can you say, man, it doesn't contain the very preciousness and power. The great power, if you preach the Holy Spirit's baptism or the baptism of the Holy Ghost more than Jesus hanging on the cross. Something is desperately wrong with your theology. When the Holy Ghost comes, He doesn't point to Himself. He points to Him. He testifies of Jesus. If you read the Bible for something other than Christ on the cross, dying for our sins as the primary revelation, the greatest of all, you're off on a tangent. Scripture said to search the Scripture. Paul wrote to Timothy and said, search the Scripture, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they be they that testify of Jesus Christ. Amen? The Holy Ghost testifies of Him. The Scripture testifies of Him. In some countries, the Bible is called the Jesus Book because missionaries wanting to bring them to Christ preach Christ out of every book of the Bible because He's in every book of the Bible. Hallelujah. Amen. The first Lord's Supper was introduced during the celebration of the Passover meal. All Israel remembered their deliverance from Egypt. And through this, they were constantly reminded that the God that was at work in their past was with them in their present, and He would be faithful to fulfill His promises for their future. But it all started with looking back at the Passover. And then the courage came, the patience came that they needed for their present, and the hope came. Amen. So I'm going to talk about assurance for the present and hope for the future. It's all found in this wonderful ordinance of Holy Communion. We're all in need of help in remembering, especially as we age. It gets even worse. Anyone, even young people have a problem, but as you age, it seems to get worse. This little story says an older couple had trouble remembering common day-to-day things. They both decided they would write down their request, the request the other had, and so try to avoid forgetting. One evening, the wife asked if the husband would like anything. He said, yes, I'd like a large ice cream sundae with chocolate ice cream, whipped cream, and a cherry on top. The wife started off to the kitchen, and the husband shouted at her, aren't you going to write it down? Don't be silly, she hollered back. I'm going to fix it right now. I won't forget. She was gone for quite some time. When she finally returned, she sat down in front of him, a large plate of hash brown potatoes, eggs, bacon, and a glass of orange juice. He took a long look at her and said, I knew you should have written it down. You forgot the toast. Someone said there's three things that show that you're aging. Three distinct things that absolutely show you're moving into senior citizen status. One is forgetfulness. I can't seem to remember the other two. It was a lot funnier when I was younger and it didn't apply that much to me. But now it's not near as funny as it used to be. Someone said you know you're aging when someone tells you how good you look for your age. Anybody heard that lately? How old are you? 59. Boy, you look good for your age. Well, I guess I'm arriving. Can you say amen? I just want to read from 1 Corinthians about remembrance again, just to bring it to your attention. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26, Jesus left this ordinance with us. He left this remembrance with us, this thing that we can do as Christians that is so vital to our faith and our first love and our courage and our strength. Our assurance for the present and our hope for the future is all based on remembering Him on the cross and His love for us, the great love the Scripture said that He loved us with. So Paul said, for that I've received of the Lord, that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, He took the cup, and when He had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. We've got a looking back to the cross and Jesus giving His blood and His body for us on that cross, and all of that entails we're to remember. And then verse 26, we begin to look forward and we have hope for the future. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death, what? Till He come. Don't ever forget, Jesus is coming again. And no matter what happens in the interim, when He comes, whether you be in the ground or whether you be alive and above the ground, when He comes, hallelujah, we're going to be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and the change is going to last forever. Can you say amen? In Holy Communion, we look back to the cross for assurance, forward to Jesus for hope. Everybody say hope. As ancient Israel journeyed out of Egypt, since we're Jesus, you know, He instituted this as the Passover meal. In fact, the New Testament speaks of Christ, our Passover, being sacrificed for us. He talked about in their journey out of Egypt, amen, there was a water that came out of a rock. And it didn't just come out, but wherever they went, the streams coming out wove its way and followed them, the Scripture said. Isn't that incredible? The Bible said in the New Testament that they all drank out of that spiritual rock, the water that flowed from that rock, that smitten rock loosed a fountain, amen, that followed them so they would never have to hunt for water, for the water followed them. Isn't that incredible? You know what's inside of you, amen, because the spiritual rock Christ was smitten out of your belly, there's an artesian well inside of you. Amen. Listen, folks, you don't have to go to some anointed evangelist for the laying on of hands. Amen. This water is following you. You don't need to follow the water anymore. Can you say, amen, out of your belly shall flow. Wherever you are and wherever you go, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake He of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that incredible? Hallelujah. So many people are running looking for something. And whatever you're looking for means, if you're still looking for something, you're failing to recognize what is yours in Christ. People looking for something are missing something. I'm going to tell you something. You don't need to look any further than Jesus for what you're missing. He's the bread of life. He's the true bread that came down out of heaven. We got too many people basing their victory on the coattails of an anointed man or woman. God never intended that. He intended them to get you hooked up with Him. Can you say amen? So that you don't have to drive 500 miles to get your soul revived. You just sit down tonight and open your heart to Christ. Hallelujah. Well, I just thought I'd run that by you. You say, well, I got to get a jolt. I got to get a dose. A dose of what? The Holy Ghost? You got Him. Christ, He's in you. God the Father, He abides within. His Word is as close as your Bible, hallelujah. You didn't hear me. This is the primary organ by which God speaks to man. This is it, right here. Not brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. This is the primary. Can you say, man, search the Scriptures. Study to show yourself approved. All Scripture is given by what? Amen. Inspiration of God and is profitable for rebuke and reproof and instruction in and correction and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might always be sensing a lack or missing something. No, that the man of God might be fully furnished unto every good work. Can you say, man? You know what's happening? We're equipping the saints with everything you need to live godly and effectively and joyfully and peacefully and powerfully and hopefully until Jesus comes. Hallelujah. That's what the Scripture is all about. Hook you up with Jesus. Hallelujah. How many believe you could get hooked up to Jesus Himself? How many, if Jesus was holding a meeting in one room and the greatest evangelist in the world and the greatest anointed woman in the world in the next, which room would you choose? Say that a little louder. Some people are having a problem with it. Can you say amen? Amen. It's amazing how people travel long distance to try to get their soul stirred because they feel I'm missing something. What you're missing is an understanding of what you have and what you possess in Jesus Christ. If you ever get a hold of what's yours now in Jesus, you won't have to look for someone with a gift to give you. You'll celebrate the gift that is yours already in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's a whole other message. Just thought I'd let you know about that. We receive from all of God's servants, but the greatest things you'll ever receive is that that gets you closer to your Savior and closer to your Master and more dependent on Him and less dependent on them. Their flesh and blood, you're going to see flaws in them. Paul said, in my flesh there's no good thing. Hallelujah. But you won't find it in Him. Look to Him. Ancient Israel journeyed out of Egypt toward Canaan, the promised land, and they carried two things to help them remember. Two items that they carried to help them remember. So that they wouldn't forget the hand of God that brought them out of Egypt. They were going to need that. You know how vital that was? I'll read it in a few moments from the Psalms verbatim. But you know how vital that was? The reason they didn't have the courage to go on into the promised land was, the scripture said in Psalm 78, they forgot the hand of the Lord that brought them up out of the land of Egypt and the land of bondage. They forgot, one translator says, they forgot His love and power. They forgot His love and power. You know how I know they forgot His love? Because they said, our God must hate us to have brought us out here into the wilderness and then abandoned us and not take us into Canaan. Amen. When you start doubting God's love, I guarantee your faith is going to shrivel up. Faith is more than positive thinking. It is a result of a heart that is accepting of the great love wherewith God loved us. Faith worketh by. Amen. Say that with me again. Faith worketh. If you're not growing in the love of God, you're not going to be able to stand in the faith of God. I'll guarantee you. If you doubt His love for one moment, you're not going to use your faith. And if you don't use your faith, God can't honor your faith. We've got to quit doubting His love. They forgot it was more than power that brought them out of Egypt. It was love that released that power. And when they doubted His love, it shriveled their faith. When they saw giants and they saw walled cities, walled, as they said, up into the heavens. Amen. The Bible said they shrunk in their heart, their spirit. Amen. Their spirit was just broken. They forgot the power of God that parted the Red Sea. If they'd remembered just for a little bit the power that parted that sea, the covenant strength of His love, they wouldn't have doubted that He would have given them Canaan in spite of the barriers to the blessing. Everybody say they forgot His love and power. You know what they carried to help them remember God's love and power? Two items. They carried the Ark of the Covenant out with them. It went before them. New generation couldn't even go in the land until priests took the Ark, amen, and marched toward Jordan. Can you say amen? And they carried something else to help them remember. They carried a coffin. You know what was in the coffin? Bones. And you know whose bones it was? Joseph's bones. Amen. Somewhere in that great procession was an Ark of the Covenant and a coffin with the bones of Joseph. And both the Ark was something they could see. It was tangible. And so was the coffin with the bones, and it was tangible. But it told a story of something intangible to the sight, but even more tangible in the spirit realm. And that's a God who makes a promise, who has the love and the power to carry it out. They were headed for promised land. They were not just going anywhere. They were headed for the land of promise. Canaan was promised land. I want you to know heaven is a promised land. Hallelujah. It's not just a prepared place. It's a promised place. When we think of what God has done for us in the past, we can move confidently into the future. This was true for the people of Israel as they traveled from Egypt to the promised land. In the final chapter of Genesis, we read that as Joseph was dying, he made his brothers take an oath that they would carry his bones to the land that God promised Israel. He was so sure that God would keep His promise. He said, if I die, amen, looking for this promise, and it hasn't happened yet, and you bury me, and I lay in the ground long enough, amen, for the flesh to rot off of my bones, when God comes, Because he that shall come is coming. I don't know when, I don't know how long, but if there's no flesh on my bones, when you get ready to move, when God says it's time, listen, one of these days God's going to step out of his heaven, tell his son to go get his bride. It's been a long time coming, hallelujah, amen, but it's coming. Can you say amen? He said, when that happens, you dig up my bones, you put them in a box, and you take me with you. Somebody say, now that's faith.
That's faith.
Somebody say, that's also patience. Every time they looked at that box, they said, we have a promise. If they'd have kept looking at those two boxes, the Ark of the Covenant and the box with the bones of Joseph, they would remember that God is a man of his word. And obstacles are going to come, and you got to look at the promise and not the problem. You didn't hear me. I said, when obstacles come that seem to say, why isn't God going to do this? Why has God left us like this? Why has God abandoned us? Why has God quit loving us? Why won't God lose his power to do this? We need to remember his promise and his covenant. We need to remember that God's a man of his word. When we pray and the x-ray comes back and said there's no change, we need to still stand. Genesis 50, 22 through 26. I'm going to read from the NIV just for a little bit of clarification. It said Joseph stayed in Egypt along with all his father's family. He lived 110 years. My grandmother, you say, woo, my grandmother's 103, darling. So she's only got 7 to go to catch him. 110 years. And saw the third generation of Ephraim's children. Also, the children of Machir, son of Manasseh, were placed at birth on Joseph's knees. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I'm about to die, but God will surely come to your aid and take you up out of this land to the land he promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm not going to see it. I'm getting ready to pass away, but God will surely come and help you. Literally in the King James said, God will visit you. And when he does, he's going to take you out of this land. And no matter what the problems and the barriers are, it doesn't matter. God's going to do it because God made a promise, hallelujah, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you're the descendants. I want you to know something spiritually today. Amen. You got friends in high places. You got connections today. You, New Testament believers, Jew, Greek, bond free, male, female, white, black, Caucasian, Asian. It doesn't matter. If you're a believer this morning, you are the spiritual seed of Abraham. And the promises of faithful Abraham, woo, have come upon us. And Joseph made the sons of Israel swear an oath and said, God will surely come to your aid. He will come and save you. And then you must carry my bones from this place. When he does it, pick me up out of the ground. Even if all the flesh is gone, I don't care how long it takes. The promise is good. He's going to come. And when he comes, the New Testament said, amen, that he that shall come will come. And he will not tarry. In other words, it's all a matter of timing. God's delay is not his denial. Say it with me, God's delay. Come on, this will help your patience today and perseverance. God's delay. Oh, we all know about God's delays. I don't like them either, but thank God I know they're not his denial. I could always look back and see the ancient bones of Joseph who said, I know it's going to happen because God gave us a promise. Amen. Death ain't going to stop it. I'm going to be there. Hallelujah. So dig me up and take me when it happens. Hallelujah. And every time you carry that box toward the promised land, look at it and say, God's keeping his promise. God's keeping his promise. God's keeping his promise. God is a man of his word. Hallelujah. So Joseph died at the age of 110. And after they embalmed him, he was placed in a coffin in Egypt. More than 300 years later, Moses took the bones of Joseph as the Israelites left out of Egypt. Isn't that incredible? Exodus 3:17 through 20. Let's just read this before we receive communion. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. This is from the NIV. For God said if they faced war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt armed for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. Joseph had made sons of Israel swear an oath. He said, God will surely come to your aid. God will surely visit you. Everybody say, He will come and save you. And then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. Why was he so insistent? Why? Because there would be things that make them forget that God is so faithful to His Word and God is so faithful to His promises. So many obstacles and oppositions, distractions and discouragement. When they saw that box with the bones of Joseph, they'd say, Joseph said it. It was a long time coming, but bless God it came. Hallelujah. Let's take courage in our future because the God of the past is fulfilling His Word. Amen. Hallelujah. He watches over His Word to do what? To perform it. Joseph said, don't ever forget that when you're discouraged. Then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. After leaving Succoth, they camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night, in a pillar of fire to give them light so they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in the front of the people. So God's presence was with them. They could look back to the promise by looking at the bone box with Joseph's bones. They could look at the Ark of the Covenant and say there's a glorious future for us. And in between that growing courage from the past and hope for the future, there's the presence of God with them in the now. Lo, Jesus said, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. We look back to the cross in communion. But we look forward to the coming through the Ark of the Covenant. This is the new what? Covenant. Testament is not the correct Greek rendering. It's covenant. They were covenant people. It was a covenant time and they understood covenant wording. Can you say, man? Jesus literally said, this is the new covenant. What was in front of them giving them hope? The Ark of the... What was behind them, giving them courage? Amen. Hallelujah. For looking back at their past and how faithful God had been. Amen. That bone box. Praise God. We have the cross to look to. Amen. And thank God there's no bones of a man in the tomb. Amen. We're not looking to a bone box. We're looking to a cross. In fact, we're looking to an empty tomb that says He's risen from the dead to ratify every promise with His own blood. Hallelujah. For the next 40 years, the people carried the ark with the tablets of law and the coffin with the bones of Joseph. The bones served as a reminder of their yesterday. The ark pointed to their tomorrow. For the tablets of the law anticipated the relationship they were to have with the Lord in the promised land. You see, there was more than just a land that flowed with milk and honey. That's how the materialistic message missed the point of the promised land. Just like many people miss the point of heaven. Heaven is not about gold streets. Heaven is not about gates of pearl. Believe me, your first day in heaven, you're not going to stand ogling the gate. You're not going to stand saying, whoa! Look at this street. Whoa! It's pure gold. Whoa, I can see me in there. No, that's not what it's going to be all about. Amen. The moment you lay eyes on Jesus, gold and silver and gates of pearl, amen, are not going to be what's so significant. He wasn't just bringing them into a land to just give them stuff. He brought them into a land to give them Himself so they could worship Him and serve Him and know Him and walk with Him. I'm going to tell you something. Walking with God is better than a Rolex. Somebody say, walking with God is better than a Rolex. Say it again. Walking with God is better than an Escalade. Riding with God when Jesus comes again. Lord, I want to ride with you. Can you say amen? hallelujah, is better than a ride in a Mercedes-Benz. You say, Brother Venable, you mean you wouldn't drive an Escalade if I bought you one? Honey, if you bought me one right now, I'd buy me a Ford and put it on the church project. If you don't believe me, put me to the test. Amen. He wanted to be their God and them to be His people. He wanted to prove the strength of His covenant in the way that He blessed them, and especially with the blessing of His presence. There was something with them on the way to the promised land. A pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. And every time Moses went to a place set apart called the tent of meeting, amen, that cloud went over and hovered, amen, where that tent was. God said, I'm with you every step of the way. Amen. We don't just look back to the cross and forward to His coming. We look to the promise of the presence of God in between those two. Can you say amen? We've got great assurance, blessed assurance as we look back to the cross. Jesus is mine. And then we look forward to His coming. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. The Israelites carried with them Joseph's bones and the tablets of stone as we carry along the sacrament of communion. And it's just everyday things, isn't it? There was two boxes there, gopher wood and set off by gold, but something tangible, something we could understand, appreciate, and touch. Same way with the box. You couldn't touch that holy box, but you could touch the one with Joseph's bones. Amen. It's tangible. You could see it. Everyone in Israel saw these two boxes. And it reminded them, hallelujah, of their covenant God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was their God. And His promises were real and being realized. Every step they took toward Canaan, that promise was being realized. As they stepped, the promise was coming to pass. When they quit walking, the promise didn't fail. They stopped pursuing it. And when a new generation remembered the hand of the Lord, amen, and didn't forget His love and power, they had the courage and strength to put the ark before them and cross over Jordan. And the Bible said as the priest ankles, got ankle deep in the water, because there's no barge or no bridge there, but when they walked forward leading them with the ark before them, when they got ankle deep in the water, the river stood up on its end just like the Red Sea stood up to let them out. It took supernatural to get you out of the devil's kingdom, and it took supernatural to get you in God's kingdom. Amen. You are a product of God's supernatural grace and supernatural power. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And let me tell you something. If they'd remembered the power and love that brought them out, they wouldn't have doubted that same power and love would have took them in. Amen? But they forgot the hand of the Lord, Psalm 78 said, that brought them up out of the land of bondage. In both cases, a very meaningful and life-giving, hope-restoring, and Holy Spirit-inspiring reminder was necessary to sustain their faith. That's why Holy Communion is not an option. Amen. It's not something we do when we think, oh, this will be sweet to do because it's Easter. It'll be sweet because it's Christmas. We'll have a candlelight communion. We'll all feel warm and fuzzy. God wants you to remember like you've never remembered before. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why He gives us things to help us remember. We're going to eat and drink these ordinary things in a few moments that remind us of the extraordinary blessings that are ours in Jesus. We're going to look back to the cross, and we're going to look forward to the coming. And we're going to realize that between those two great events, we have a promise of His presence. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible said while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord in terms of our physical presence in His heaven. But let me tell you something. We're not absent from the Lord from the promise of His spiritual presence with us. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That pillar, that cloud, that attendant, resplendent glory, that all represented His presence. That's what, it was just a Shekinah. Amen. It appeared as a cloud by day, a pillar by fire by night. It was all that attended the very presence of God. Can you say amen? Jesus bled and died for us on the cross. We've been redeemed. The ransom price for our freedom has been paid in full. None of us are perfect, but we have been purchased with a perfect sacrifice. How many know that we have been purchased with a perfect sacrifice? Your perfection will never get you into heaven, but His perfect love and perfect blood will get you into heaven. Can you say amen? We're assured of His presence with us now and His promise to give us a place in heaven's kingdom. We are constantly filled with hope and holy anticipation. The Word of God, the Bible, is our ark. It's our New Testament, our new covenant, amen, of hope that we follow. Romans 15:4 said, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of the Scripture we might have hope." The Bible said, even if death takes a loved one or death takes us, it doesn't stop that hope. Amen. We're not like others who have no hope. Even death can't stop that hope. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as the manner of some is. Amen. If the Lord brought forth the Lord Jesus in resurrection power from the dead, even them that are asleep in Him, He shall also bring with Him. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. How many know that's that bridegroom thing? Look at somebody and say, that's that bridegroom thing. Can you say amen? He'll descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. What's He going to say, preacher? He's going to say, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. With the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are living and remain shall be caught up with Him to meet the Lord in the air. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're following an ark, my brother and my sister. We're looking back to the cross, forward to the coming, and enjoying the journey in between. You didn't hear me. I said enjoying. We joy in God through Jesus Christ. We haven't seen Him visibly yet, but we love Him already. And because it's by faith, amen, it's full of His glory. Hope in Scripture always means the glad anticipation of future good. We have a glorious future awaiting us, a future that death cannot conquer. Little story says, three friends die in a car accident. They go into an orientation in heaven. They're all asked, when you're in your casket and friends and family are mourning you, what would you like to hear them say about you? The first guy said, I would like to hear them say I was a great doctor of my time and a great family man. The second guy says of his eulogy, I would like to hear that I was a wonderful husband and school teacher who made a huge difference in the lives of the children of tomorrow. The last guy replies, I would like to hear them say, look, he's moving. Come on, folks, it's not a great eulogy they're looking for, is it? It's eternal life. Not a hole in the ground, it's a hole in the sky, hallelujah. Wow. Oh, don't patty cake, give the Lord a hand. One of these days, whether it happens during your eulogy or whether the skin worms have eaten your body, as Job said, amen, you be sure to take my bones in the promised land because I'm going to be a part of that. Can you say amen? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Communion says that Jesus did something on the cross that is so powerful that death cannot conquer it. Can you say amen? And the grave will not keep you or me down. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. When I hear the trumpet sound, I'm gonna get up out of the ground. Cause there ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Friend of mine from Tennessee, long, tall evangelist, used to sing that on live radio in Plant City, Florida. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Down. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank God for the faith. Thank God for the victory that's in Jesus. Thank God for the old rugged cross. Thank God for the shed blood of Jesus. Thank God for the soon coming of Jesus. Thank God for our great conquering King. Hallelujah. Thank God for Holy Communion, whereby we rehearse again His great love and His great power extended toward you and me. Ancient Israel remembered their deliverance from Egypt, but they forgot God's love and power that brought them out. Verse 41 of Psalm 78 tells exactly why they missed it. It said, yea, they turned back, tempted God, and limited the Holy One of Israel. And the reason they turned back, verse 42, they remembered not His hand, nor the day when He delivered them from the enemy. That's why God will always point you back to the deliverance that you experienced when He saved you. Because that's the greatest victory, amen, that will ever be achieved in your behalf. There'll be none greater. No enemy will fight harder than the enemy fought to keep you in blindness and bondage. And that battle was lost instantly, amen, when Christ was revealed and you decided to receive Him. No demon in the netherworld could stop you from receiving Jesus. Oh, no force from hell could hinder you from coming to Christ. Why? Because God's Spirit will hold all of that back to set you free. Just like He brought them out of Egypt, He brought you out of Satan's bondage. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Or as one translation reads, they forgot His love and power. Verse 43 said how He had wrought signs in Egypt and wonders in the field of Zoan. That wonderful country that's become wonderful by virtue of the fact that God worked a miracle that would point to Christ in it in setting people free. Holy Communion is to help us to never forget His love and power. The God who brought us out will surely bring us in. And between the past and future, God is with us every step of the way, even to the end of the age. Isn't that incredible? Paul writes these words twice in the New Testament. Remember, remember, in 1 Corinthians. The word remember is a good one. The original word is anamnesis. Anamnesis. Comes from the word ana, which means repeatedly, and amnesis, which means calling to mind. Literally, communion is supposed to be a repeatedly calling to mind. That's why we go over themes again. We come at it again with a fresh anointing. And you say, but I've heard that. Everybody's looking for something new. God wants you to keep what you've got clearly in focus. It's not. We don't need something new and better. We need to stay connected to the tried and true. You didn't hear me. What kept Paul, my darling, will take good care of you. It was good for Paul and Silas, the songwriter said, and it's good enough for me. We don't need some gospel specially tailored for the 20th century. We need Christians in the 20th century to follow the same gospel that Paul preached, for no other gospel can any man preach but that has been preached. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Ancient words, ever true, changing me, changing you. So the words of Jesus tell us to celebrate communion because we are to repeatedly remember Him. Communion is about remembering what Jesus did for us. If you lose your first love, you remember from whence thou art fallen. And you do your first works. But another thing about this word is the second half, amnesis, which as I say means calling to mind. If you were to make the word a negative in the Greek, you would add the prefix a. Just like a theist who believes in God, put an A in front of it, and you have atheist. Or someone who doesn't believe in theos or God. So not remembering or calling to mind, not thinking about this repeatedly, is amnesis, amnesis, or amnesia. That's where we get the word amnesia. You can't remember. You know what's wrong in the church today because the love level is so small, the flame isn't burning brightly, revival fires aren't kindling all over the place because we've got something called spiritual amnesia. We've got so far past the cross and the hand of the Lord that brought us out of Egypt
We've lost the excitement, the enthusiasm, the passion, the love for Him, the courage, the strength to look on these fields and say there's nothing more important than His Word. The ark goes before us. Hallelujah. Because we've got something called spiritual amnesia. We're forgetting precious things. Going on is not getting a new revelation. It's getting in touch with the holy past. And getting excited about a promised future. None of that has changed, nor does it need to change. If you want faith, look back to the Passover and see Jesus is yours.
Can you say amen? Hallelujah.
We'll never forget the love and power of Christ for us. He hung on the cross. He laid down His life. He rose the third day and took it again. He ascended on high and He promised to come again. We look back to the cross for assurance. Forward to the promise for His return. How many believe that Jesus is indeed coming soon? Coming again. Hallelujah. Isaac Watts wrote a song about looking to the past for courage for the present. The name of the song, and this was back in 1719, is when it was published. Our God and help, our God, our help in ages past. Verse says, our God, our help in ages past. Our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Under the shadow of Your throne, Your saints have dwelt secure. Sufficient is Your arm alone, and our defense is sure. Before the hills in order stood, or earth received its frame, from everlasting You are God, to endless years the same. 1,000 ages in Your sight are like an evening gone, short as the watch that ends the night before the rising sun. Time, like an ever-rolling stream, soon bears us all away. We fly forgotten as a dream dies at the opening day. But our God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, still be our guard while troubles last, and our eternal home. Can you say, man, halabakushala? We're inscribed on His hand. So that He forgets us not. Are you ready for Holy Communion? Hallelujah. To look back and to look forward. And in the interim, to know that He's with us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're on the threshold of great blessing. You're on the threshold of great glory. You're on the threshold, yea, saith God, of mighty revival and mighty effectiveness in My kingdom. Don't be distracted now. Don't be discouraged now. Remember My power and remember My passion. I am sweeping the world with mighty revival. I'm bringing in the precious sheaves. I'm working a mighty work and I'm investing My anointing. Where souls will be reached, souls will be touched, saints will be kept until My coming. Be not afraid and draw not back, for the Lord that brought you out will surely bring you in and give you the heathen for an inheritance, saith the Lord. Somebody give Him praise. Somebody give Him praise. Somebody give Him praise today. Would someone please come and serve us these tangible tokens of the great love and the great power of our gracious God. Hallelujah. On a hill far away stands an old rugged cross the emblem of suffering and shame. But on that old cross, the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cling to the old rugged cross until my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and someday exchange it for a crown. You're in a retro church today. You're not in a progressive, advancing, New Age-laced, pseudo-Jesus, seeker-sensitive, user-friendly church with a watered-down gospel to attract people who need to know how desperately they are lost in sin and how desperately they need a Savior's forgiveness. Can you say amen? You're in a church that clings to the old rugged cross. But I want to remind you that real revival has yet to hit America. When real revival comes, the lives of all those people going to those churches will be dramatically, drastically changed. They'll be different on the job. They will be different in the classroom. They will be different wherever they are. They won't just shout on Sunday and join and blend with the world the rest of the week. I want you to know the old rugged cross is what is spearheading the revival in China right now. Amen. Where Christians are dedicating even to torture and the laying down of their life this very day for the name of Jesus Christ. Not for the money, not for the wealth, not for the fame, not for the fortune, but for the cross and Him who died upon it. The mighty revival in South America is because the cross is being preached in South America. The key to Billy Graham's success in world evangelism is because he has never preached a tangent message. In fact, he's repeated the same one over and over and over again. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish. Every social issue, cultural issue, personal issue, mental issue, spiritual issue, physical issue, amen, they're all addressed through the cross. Can you say amen? We don't need the cross and this and the cross and that. We need the cross and Him who hung upon it. But let me remind you, don't just dwell on Jesus on the cross. Be reminded also that He's off of that cross. Death did not conquer Him, and hell did not win on that day. The same night He was betrayed, He took bread, and after He broke it, He said, "This is My body, broken for you. As often as you eat this, do this in remembrance of Me." You may eat the bread. Afterward, He took the cup and He blessed it, saying, "This is the New Testament, the new covenant in My blood that is shed for the remission of the sins of many. As often as you drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come. And when you do this, always remember Me." You may drink the cup. I want you to stand with me. We're going to close with a hymn or a song. Sister Venable, God said if we'll be faithful to the heavenly calling. What can you say at this stage in your life? What's it all about? Is it just working, paying off your home so you can fish a few years and die? Is that it? Sum total? Is it just stocking in groceries, doing barbecue on the weekend? Is that the American dream? Is that all there is to it? Is there any higher calling in your life than just existing until He comes? Is there a higher calling? Is there something of heaven's glory touching your soul? Can you see through eyes that look beyond the present and the natural? Can you see people like Jesus saw them, lost people as sheep having no shepherd? Totally vulnerable without any defense of their own? Does it move you with compassion? Does the love of Christ constrain us? Do we just visit church intermittently? Do you think that's worth his investment spiritually? You just want him to pay your bills so you can watch TV without worrying about payments? You just want him to heal your body so that you can go to yard sales and have a good time and do your thing? Is that the motive behind all of your help and all of your healing? Is there anything worth living for beyond yourself? If you're not living beyond yourself, you're going to be terribly disappointed. Death is going to come and take it all away. There won't be enough years, enough youth, enough money, enough wealth, enough fame, enough gratifying sins to say, I'm ready. I've really had it all. No, you won't have it all until you embrace a kingdom that's beyond this world. I'm so glad to know if I close my eyes tonight and don't wake up in the morning and wake up in his presence, that something more has come from my life than just spending it all on me and wasting it away. I have invested in his kingdom to the extent that he's allowed this little ministry.